Good morning, church. Good to be with you again today. I want to invite you to keep your Bibles open there to Mark chapter 4. If you will, we'll look at that parable that Jesus told here in just one moment. It's so good to see all of you again. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being here. We're just so glad that you've had the opportunity to be out and be with us. In checking the bulletin this morning, it doesn't always work out this way, and very rarely does it, but take the opportunity this morning to say, happy birthday to Mary. We won't ask any questions beyond that. We'll just say happy birthday and just celebrate. Your husband answered in the back. It's okay. Next week it will be June and Ashlyn's birthday. That neat little thing that works out for them to have that same birthday on Sunday. So just neat to I'm really thankful that we have a shepherd that keeps track of all that and puts that in the bulletin each month and gives us the opportunity to just celebrate each other. That's just a really neat thing. I came up with this really neat way, I think, to get some audience participation in the sermon. I think it's going to work. A lot of times somebody will say, show of hands, and then they'll ask some question, and people are always feeling really awkward about that. And so I thought, I'll just ask the question and then tell you what I want you to do by way of participation. It's, if you are here today and you're married and you absolutely love your spouse, I want you to just keep your hands down. Everybody, just keep your hands down if you love your spouse. Excellent. That is really great. Good job. Thank you. If you are here today and you absolutely love the Alabama Crimson Tide, I want you to raise your hand. Definitely. Thank you, Sydney. I appreciate that. Good job. It's one of those things where sometimes that's effective. A preacher can ask that question and kind of see what the feedback would be. But I wanted to ask a question today, and I'm going to do the same thing. I want you to just keep your hands down. If you've ever had a situation in life where you knew of someone that you really wanted to change some things about them, keep your hands down if you've ever had that happen. Yeah, that's probably the honest feedback that we needed this morning, right? Because if I had asked you to raise your hands if that was the case, some people might have felt comfortable doing that, others maybe not, but that's probably true, right? We've all had people in our lives that we've either had close relationships with, or maybe we just know them in an acquaintance type relationship. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's somebody who is a fellow student, and they've worked on a group project with us, and we've had to rub elbows a little bit and maybe bump into each other some. Maybe it's our spouse that we feel this way about, or maybe our children, or maybe our parents. And we have thought, there's just a few things about that person that I would really like to change. And I saw this phrase the other day, and I thought it was really interesting. It said, I want you to think about how difficult it is for you to make changes in your life. Think about that. Think about how hard it is for you to change a bad habit, or for you to change a mindset, or for you to just change anything about yourself, whether it be the way you look or how you feel. It's hard to do that, isn't it? It is hard for us to make changes about ourselves. And then the last part of that phrase was, now you understand how little a chance you have of making a change in others. You know, think about it. Think about how we have a difficult time making changes in our own lives, and then we have this mindset, this attitude that we would really love to change some things in somebody else. And this statement was saying very little chance in being able to do that. I somewhat agree with the saying. I do think it is difficult. I think that it is it's certainly not an easy task to try to change the lives of others, but I'm not going to agree that the chance is near impossible. That's not going to be true. I don't believe that. I believe with God all things are possible. I have had in my life a friendship, and it was interesting that this friend and I were thinking about things from a completely opposite perspective. There were these situations that came up, conflict that arose between us, and when we tried to come together and talk about those things, here was my mindset. My mindset was, yes, I probably made some mistakes along the way in this friendship. Yes, I probably said some things that I shouldn't have said. I probably, and will admit that I did do some things that I wished I hadn't. I wish I'd done some things differently. But in order for this situation to resolve, that person is going to have to admit all of these things that they did that were wrong. And the list of things that they did that were wrong was way bigger than the list of things that I was willing to admit that I had done. And so this is my mindset looking in this conflict resolution. And that person came into the attempt to reconcile, and their attitude was, I'm not a perfect person. Of course I make mistakes. I make really little bitty tiny mistakes every single day. But if we're going to reconcile, if I'm going to reconcile with that guy, I mean, he's going to have to be willing to admit all of these mistakes that he made in our friendship. He's going to have to be willing to change his mind, to change his attitude, to change his behavior. And unless he's willing to change, then I don't know that reconciliation is possible. And I'm over here saying, unless they're willing to change, I don't think reconciliation is possible. Change is hard. It's hard in our own lives. It's hard when we try to encourage others to make changes in theirs. And sometimes I think our attitude about change is not the way the Lord would look at that. But we want change to happen all at once. We want to lay everything out there on the line. We want to tell everybody how we feel about the whatever situation it was or whatever it is about them that is worrying us or causing us trouble. And we want a quick, all-at-once fix for whatever problem or whatever situation this is. We want that to happen in our marriages. We want our children to make quick correction of the things that we're trying to change. We might want that in our parents or our co-workers or the fellow student that we're working with. We want them to change it now, and to change it forever. And that's an unrealistic expectation. When we have the biggest problem that human beings face, The biggest issue that every single one of us as humans have to deal with in our own lives, the Lord took a much different approach to trying to encourage us and inspire us to change. Our biggest challenge is sin. It's the things that Ethan was talking to us about just a moment ago. The things that we've done that make it necessary for the blood of Christ to anoint our souls and to cleanse us from those sins. Sin is the biggest problem every single one of us is facing right now. It's the biggest problem that all of our young people, from the ones that are still sitting in the laps of their parents, it's the biggest problem they will ever face in their entire lives. And in order to combat those sins, in order to encourage people to be able to see their sin the way that God sees their sin, and for them to see their desperate need for the blood of Jesus Christ, Jesus gave this approach. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road. And the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into good soil, and they grew up and increased. They yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear. That's a much different approach to trying to change the hearts and lives of people, isn't it? When we think about change, we want it all or nothing. We're trying to lose weight. We want to lose 30 pounds in a month and then be done with it, right? We don't want that a pound a week type of weight loss. That takes too long. We're not patient enough for that. We want to see change, and we want to see change now. We want to see it in our own lives. We want quick fixes. We want shortcuts. And when we try to get someone else to see where they are in error or where they are walking in opposition to us or in opposition to God, we want them to see it. They want them to recognize it quickly. We want them to come with the absolute right solution immediately, and we want the change to happen now. And yet Jesus says, plant seeds. Plant seeds. And if you plant a seed and nothing ever happens with it, plant another seed. Maybe you have to plant seeds 100 different times in a given situation with a given individual. You want to see a relationship restored, or you want to see reconciliation or healing. It's not going to happen all at once. If you have been injured in some way, do you get healed all at once? Or is there a healing process that takes place? That is going to be true of our physical injuries, but it's also going to be true of the different traumas and tragedies that we go through in this life. We're going to have to learn to take the approach that Jesus takes here and just plant seeds. In the situation I described to you just a moment ago between myself and my friend, I've planted seeds. I don't know if they'll ever grow. I don't know if they'll continue to land on stony ground. and never have enough root to survive as a plant. I don't know. That situation is still ongoing. But we can't allow ourselves to give up hope because the change that we hope to see in others doesn't happen as quickly as we would like. We have to continue to plant seeds. We're talking in the class over here on the west side of the building. We're talking about 1 Corinthians. And one of the images that Paul uses, I imagine, borrowed right here from this parable, the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, I planted the seed. He was first on the scene. He and Aquila and Priscilla helped bring that church from the very foundation all the way to what it had become. He was the one who was there at first in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, planting the seed every chance he got. Then when he didn't have to make tents anymore, other churches chipped in so that he could devote himself to the Word of God. He was able to continually devote himself to just planting seeds. So he uses that image. I planted. And then Apollos came. After Paul spent 18 months there, he went across the sea to Ephesus. Apollos switched places with him. And while Paul was at Ephesus, Apollos was at Corinth. And what does he say? Apollos is watering the seed. And this concept, this idea of planting and watering, coming along and digging around it and giving it some fertilizer, this is the image that Jesus gives, and the Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament authors to write, to use this image of planting and watering and fertilizing and then giving it time to grow and giving it some nurture, giving it some sunlight, giving it some attention when it needs it. Maybe putting a stick in the ground and tying it to it to make sure that it's sturdy enough and strong enough if we know a storm is coming. That's how the Lord is trying to teach us to impact the lives of others, to make changes in their lives and changes in our own. We use that same mentality for ourselves. Then maybe we would see a lot more change happen in our own hearts. Because I don't know if you're like me, where you grow impatient with that kind of process. Like we want to see change, we want to see it now, and because we don't see it now, then we're much more apt to walk away from a situation like that and say, they'll never change. That'll never be any different. That work situation that I'm in, it's never going to get any better, because it didn't get any better this week. It's never going to get any better. And so I'm going to immediately start looking for a different job. That marriage, that partner that I'm with, my spouse, he's never going to change. And so I'm going to look to separate myself from that situation. We don't see the change that we want to see, and it doesn't happen as quickly as we want to have it happen, so We just stop trying. Anybody ever tried to lose weight? Didn't happen as fast as you wanted to, and so you ate a whole gallon of Ben and Jerry's for breakfast? I heard a story just yesterday about somebody that ate a half gallon of ice cream for breakfast. It was Sydney. Snuck into the refrigerator while Mark was in the shower. He found her with the carton in the middle of his bed. But we as adults even do stuff like that. It's not happening as fast as I want it to happen. And so I'm just going to stop trying. And the Lord is crying out to us. Just keep planting seeds. Plant seeds everywhere you go. Plant seeds in the most undesirable places to plant seeds. Plant seeds in the hardest of soils. Plant seeds in the shallowest of places. Plant seeds where you think a seed would never be able to reach. And let the Lord do with that what He will. Perhaps the Lord is softening some heart right now. Someone that you've given up on long ago. Someone that you were trying to help them see something, trying to help them change something in their lives, and you were ready to write them off a long time ago. You have no idea. We have no clue what the Lord is doing to soften hearts right now. And preparing soils so that they can receive the seeds that we'll plant. When Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and he saw the people that were coming, she ran into town, left her water pot, ran into town, told everybody about this man who told her everything she'd ever done, claiming that this was the Christ. And this woman who nobody wanted to spend any time around. I mean, she had to go to the well by herself every day. Nobody wanted to be around this woman. But something about her testimony about Jesus caused them to want to run out and see Him for themselves. Jesus is talking to His disciples. He sees the people coming. I just imagine Him putting His hand out and pointing, showing His disciples, "Look, here they are. The harvest is white. The fields are white. They're ready. They're ready to be harvested." He encouraged them to pray that the Lord would send out reapers to go out and harvest those fields that were ready. I think we need to do the exact same thing with sowing. The fields are plowed. The hearts are being softened. The soil is being prepared. Amendments are being added into it to make it more fertile and more receptive to be able to produce a fruitful plant. God's working right now. He's working in the minds and hearts of the people that you thought could never change. He's working in the lives of others that you thought were impossible to get through to their hearts. He's doing it. He's working. He's tilling. He's plowing. And He expects for us to be out sowing. And watering, and fertilizing, and nurturing. And as we continue to sow, it's still not going to work 100% of the time. Change still may be something that this person is not interested in. And perhaps you will sow seeds, and you will never in your entire life be the one that gets to see that seed grow into a fruitful plant. But maybe somebody like Apollos can come along and find a seed that you planted, and maybe they can water it. Maybe they can nurture it in a way to get through to that person's heart that you simply weren't able. Doesn't mean it was your fault. Doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Just means that their time wasn't then. They needed to hear it from a different voice, whatever the case may be. We want to see change. We want to see our loved ones and our friends who are not living right, who are not walking right, who just annoy us at times. We want to see change. We want to help people grow. We want to be able to see them realize the errors and the flaws and the sin and the mistakes. We want them to be able to see that maybe their mind is not in the right place. Maybe they are wounded in very difficult and dangerous ways and need to seek help and counsel for the changes that need to be made. We can't give up. We can't write it off. We can't say it's impossible. We can continue to plant seeds. Seeds in the lives of our own heart. Seeds in the lives of those that we love. Even seeds in the lives of those people that we don't even know. They're complete strangers to us. And we may never know them. But we can continue to plant seeds. I get this image of a man who just has a bag full of seed. And everywhere he goes, he spreads a little bit. Without really looking at it to try to figure out if it'll work or not. Without examining the situation to see, is my seed going to be wasted here? He's just got a bag full of seed and he's spreading some on the ground a little bit at a time everywhere he goes. And sometimes it works beautifully. And it produces a plant that goes on to produce fruit. The very definition of a fruit is that it has a seed inside of it. And so every plant produces multiple fruit. Every fruit is producing multiple seeds. Wow, that is a great and awesome and amazing thing when all of that happens. Some people's hearts are going to be too hard to receive it right now. But we have to continue to plant. Continue to water, continue to nurture. And let God give the increase. Where He finds an open and receptive heart to change, let's let God give the increase. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you so much for the day and the time that you've allowed us to be able to be here and be together. As a family of believers, we pray, Father, that you will help us to be more patient with the changes in our own lives and the changes in the lives of others, to be compassionate and loving as we seek to heal and to help others heal from the various issues and challenges in their lives. We pray that you will fill us with a heart of resolve to plant more seeds every day, to see each conversation, each relationship, each situation of our lives as an opportunity to plant a seed somewhere that could one day grow into a great sign that points to you. We pray, Father, that you would help us as we seek to produce change in the lives of others, that we'll also consider what Jesus had to say about looking at the specks in others' eyes. We pray that we'll be able to see clearly the issues and challenges in our own lives and the other areas that we need to change, that we might even as David prayed, to be searched and tried so that he could know if there was anything within him that was amiss or leading him astray, to have that thing be brought to his attention. May we have the type of honest and sincere hearts that would seek to find the issues and challenges in our own lives and to do whatever we can to plant seeds in our own heart and to continue to nurture and water them and let them grow and help us to change. And then as we see clearly, we can turn our attention to the lives of others and try to help them in their situations. We pray, Father, as a church, that we would be patient and loving to each other. We wouldn't give up on each other. We wouldn't seek to divide or have difficulty and challenge between us. We pray that we would see ourselves as one body that has many members and have the kind of care and concern for each other that we need to, so that we can honor you and truly be a place where your Spirit dwells, a place that has Christ living among us, working in us and through us, so that we can shine as brightly as the light that is reflected off of us, that we can shine that light into the world and be a beacon that shows others the way to follow Jesus. Jesus prayed right before he went to the cross that we would all be one. He talked about how this would be the way that others would know that we belong to him, is when they see the love that we have for each other. We pray, Father, that you would fill us with that thought this morning. Fill our hearts with that kind of love for each other. It's in Jesus' blessed and holy name that we pray. Amen. If you're here today and have any need of this congregation, whether it be to put on the Lord Jesus in baptism, or perhaps to ask for prayer, make some confession, whatever you're